Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today is a great day. It's a feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and we remember that first miracle of that arrow that went into the throat of one of the people, one of the natives. And it was very serious, and Our Lady healed him. So there's many, many miracles that are coming. What God has planned is divine healing. And when you think of all the people that were healed 100 years ago, they have all passed away. In the divine will, this divine healing is the miracle of miracles, Jesus says, that's coming. And today is also the second day of Hanukkah, lighting of the candles of the Jewish faith. And we remember the light that God promised in that. And that's what we're doing now. We're going through this darkness, and a light is coming. So we rejoice in the fact. And speaking of rejoicing, tomorrow's Gaudete Sunday. And to rejoice. And the reason why the pink, or rose, I should say, is the saints tell us that when Jesus returns, everything will turn into a rose hue. Everyone will begin to understand that there's something has changed, something is different. And it's the return of Christ. As Jesus said to St. Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. So in the year 2000, our Holy Father, Pope St. John Paul II, gave us this great feast of divine mercy. This is the day that Luisa was born on. She was born on the Sunday after Easter. And when the priest would wake Luisa up every day from her this frozen, she wasn't animated. She was just completely frozen because she went with Jesus. This no one could move her. If the priest didn't come and bless her, she would stay in this state. And the priest would say, "Holy God, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One," and she would come back to her senses, giving also to the world the understanding that this divine mercy, this prayer that we pray in the divine mercy, goes hand in hand with Luisa. When Jesus was brought, Jesus brought Luisa to the Father, and the Father showed the divine mercy of Jesus. And Luisa came back and said to Jesus, "You must tell the world what this divine mercy is all about. You must let the world know how merciful you are." A year later, St. Faustina was born. So the prayer of Luisa has given us really the divine mercy. We're going to learn more and more of these great miracles that God has planned. And we rejoice. We rejoice. So every morning, God gives us a sunrise where you get the glimpse of this rose colored coming right from the earth, if you want to say. And then as we end the day with the evening sunset, the again the rose color, God is saying to us every day, twice a day, when we see the sunrise and the sunset, "I am going to return." So the church gives us this great feast of Gaudete, and in Lent Laudate, this getting ready for rejoicing that Christ is coming. Christ is returning. So there's great things that are coming. This is a great day. And so we're going to talk today about Luisa and being bound, being one with Jesus. This is another way of saying being fused with Jesus in the most holy divine will. So what we have today is something that's really, really astonishing. As soon as I can find what, oh, there it is. Volume 2, 7, 18, 1999. 1899. This time, it seemed to me that in my heart, there was sacramental Jesus. And from the Holy Host, Jesus spread many rays in my interior, like many threads that came out of my heart. They intertwined with all those rays of light. So here she sees Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, these rays of light. And it seemed to me that Jesus, with his love, would draw the whole of my heart to himself, and my heart with those intertwined threads would draw and bind the whole of Jesus to stay with me. So what the Lord is asking of us in the divine will is he wants a more intimate union with him. He doesn't just want us to know him and to love him and to serve him as he taught the saints. He is asking us to know, love, and possess him. This is what the divine will is. So Luisa continues, volume 2, 821, 1899. You cannot comprehend the divine power that a soul who has the sole purpose of pleasing me alone has over my sacred heart in drawing me, Jesus, to herself. So here Jesus is talking to Luisa first. You know, you don't understand this power that I've given you. And this is why the command prayer is so essential. What Jesus teaches Luisa is how to pray the way Adam did before the fall, to pray the way the Blessed Mother prayed when she was on earth, to pray the way Jesus prayed. We have learned for the last 2,000 years how to pray the prayers of the saints, and we've memorized the prayers of the saints. Great, great prayers, great, holy, beautiful prayers. But Jesus says, I want to give you powerful prayers. Our Lady says, I'm going to give you such powerful prayers that it will astonish you. Let's look at the prayer that Peter gave to Jesus when Jesus was walking on the water. And he says, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. Take my prayer and make it your command. And Jesus says, come. And he gets out of the boat and he walks on water. Humans don't walk on the water. But what Jesus is showing us is you cannot comprehend this divine power that a soul who has the sole purpose of pleasing Jesus alone over his sacred heart, drawing Jesus to that soul. You don't understand yet what God has planned. What God has planned is not just being good and holy and saintly. What God has planned is sharing in divinity. This is what the priest prays every day at Holy Mass when he puts the drop of water under the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. When that prayer comes, pray it. Pray it with the command that Jesus taught Luisa. Jesus, this prayer that the priest is praying, make it your command for all mankind. May your kingdom come on earth as you have said it will be like in heaven. This is the fulfillment of the Our Father. So Jesus says this, I, God, feel so bound to that soul that I am, he uses the name of God, forced to do what the soul wants. So you can begin to understand that our prayers aren't, please, 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 please. I know people that pray and beg God continuously, and they're sad. It hasn't happened yet, and they're upset. Why isn't God answering my prayer? They're filled with worry and fear. Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Jesus, I trust in you. You see why this is the final devotion God has given to the church? Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. Christian hope is certitude. We are certain that God is going to answer our prayers, whether we see it or not. It doesn't matter. Jesus is going to answer our prayer. Like, for example, a lot of each and every one of us are here because of the prayers of our ancestors, because of them praying to God with confidence. We have received that answer to the prayer. They didn't see it. But now Jesus is saying, watch what I'm going to do. I, God, feel so bound, tied to, one with that soul that I am. God is forced to do what the soul wants. Ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. So our prayers have to be, we have to have prayers filled with confidence. Jesus, this is my prayer that I give to you. You take it and make it your command. You can be filled with great hope and great certitude. God is going to do this. Why? He loves us so much that when we enter into his divine will, great things happen. Now, if we're praying for something that is going to harm us, we've got to be very careful. I know some people who have said to Jesus, Jesus, I love you so much. I want to suffer. Give me suffering. God goes, okay. And they have suffering. Then they complain for the rest of their life. Why did God do this to me? Well, you prayed for it. You asked for it. I tell people, pray for the love and the mercy of God. Jesus, shower me with your love and your divine mercy. We're all going to suffer. We all suffer physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. So Jesus is asking us, be careful of what you pray for, because you're going to get what you pray for. If you want suffering, then God will give this to you. Well, they'll say, well, Louisa prayed for this. Yes, she did, because Jesus asked her to. He asked her to. And with us, what we have to do is we get little by little closer and closer to this life that Jesus gave to Louisa, which is the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. Volume 2, 1899, my soul would have wanted to flee before the sight of God thrice holy. You know, I talked to a very saintly priest, and I said, Father, when you die, when you see God, what are you going to do? And he says, I don't care. This is a saintly priest. A good priest, a holy priest, a strong priest, a prayerful priest. He says, I don't care what color pants I'm wearing, they'll be brown. And I said, why? I said, why do you say that? And he said, you're meeting the holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. Here, Louisa shows this. My soul wanted to flee before the sight of the thrice holy God. But with two more words, he binds me. And these are, what is my love for you? And what is your requital love for me? How do you return this divine love that I give to you? When we enter into the presence of God, you know, we genuflect when we go to the church. Christ is in the tabernacle. That little flame of light says Jesus is present. We genuflect. We say to the Lord, Lord, I understand your love for me. What is my requital? What is my return of love to you? And we adore him and we love him and we praise him and we thank him. We bless him. And the little children of the Holy Divine Will want to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, looking at God, falling in love with God. It's not praying prayers. It's not reading words. It's to enter into this intimate relationship with God, bound with God, one with God. Now, while the first words would have, Louisa wanted to flee, frightened from his divine presence, at these second words, what is my love for you? I find myself shrunken, bound by his love from all sides. So my existence was a product of his love. And if this love ceased, I would no longer exist. See, we're going to enter into this contemplative love that the saints talked about. When we look at the ecstasy of St. Catherine of Siena, when we look at the ecstasy of St. Teresa of Avila and other saints, we're going to enter into this, okay? They were doing the will of God. Jesus wants us to enter into living in the will of God. What God is going to bring us to when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, that is so important when we're adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and worshiping God, recognizing him as our Lord and our Savior and our Master and our King. You're going to enter into this divine love. Jesus says, I want you to dive into this infinite ocean of love, and I never want you to leave. I want you to participate one with God, image and likeness. So when the soul begins to look into herself at the evil that the soul has done, the soul prepares a bath for my wounds. our guilt turns into a greater sorrow. And this is why it's so important to fall more and more in love with Jesus. The instead of saying, you know, I listen to a number of people in the nursing homes as they're getting ready to see Jesus. And they keep on going over their sins. And they're saying, you know, I don't want to enter into hell. And I would say to them, well, you've confessed your sins and you're sorry for your sins, but this guilt is always there. This sorrow is deeper. And this is one of the things that the evil one does. At the moment of death, he is present. And he's trying to pull the souls into hell. That's why the anointing of the sick or the extreme unction of the last sacrament is so essential. It helps the soul enter into heaven. The evil one doesn't have that grasp of the soul. I remember my uncle, when he was dying, he said, "You're not going to believe this, but I see demons at the end of my bed." And yes, they're going to come. When you go to confession, God forgives your sins and he forgets them. The evil one doesn't and you don't. And what happens is the devil taps us on the shoulder and goes, "Look what you've done in the past." And what we do is we turn our back to Jesus. It's not facing the light. We turn our back to Jesus and say, "Yes, I did this and I thought that and I said that." And the devil goes, "You're not worthy of heaven. You're not worthy of eternity. Look at you." Our response is to turn back to Jesus with seeing the evil. She receives bitterness and feels the sorrow for it. And by this, she comes to anoint my wounds with the most exquisite balms. And from this knowledge, the soul would want to make a reparation in seeing her past ingratitude. And the soul feels love arise within her toward a God, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That is so good that she would want to lay down her life to attest her love. And this is the hair. This is that little thin line, like many gold chains, that binds her to my love. So what's so essential is we have to understand that we are sinners and we are in a world of sin. It's to tear us away from Jesus. It's to lead us away into hell where the evil one will torture us for all eternity. He doesn't love us. He doesn't want us to be with him. He hates God. He's filled with hate. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. What God is going to do with the little souls of the divine will is we're going to be so bound to Jesus, to his sacred heart, and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. What's going to happen at that point is a new beginning happens. Like he says, this is this tiny little thread binding the soul like many gold chains to the divine love of Jesus. See, this whole gift of the divine will is about love. It's about God. It's to live that life that God possesses, the life God is love, where we are going to enter into this abundant life, not just doing the will of God, but living in the will of God. Volume 3, 168, 1900. The soul is confident, and she is certain to obtain what she asks. Is our prayer life like that? Are we confident in Jesus, or are we saying, "Please, please, 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 please"? It's to say to Jesus, "This is my prayer, and I surrender it to you. Let it be your command, and I know it's going to happen." Are we confident in God? Certain to obtain what we are asking for? Louisa did. And see, Jesus is saying to us, "I want you to enter into this life that I gave to Louisa. I let my arms be bound. I let this soul do whatever the soul wants." Do you believe that? Do you believe that? These are the words of Jesus to Louisa. He's saying to Louisa in 1900, 120 years ago, he's saying to her, Do you believe that I will let you do whatever you pray for, whatever you wish? You know, when he would say to the blind men, you know, what do you want? And we want to be healed. He says, do you really wish this? Do you think I can do this? And they go, yes. He says, then you have it. Is there anything different with God today? No. There is even more love coming from our Lord when we read the book of heaven. God is trying to teach us. The one thing that's so sad for today is the catechism hasn't really been taught. We haven't studied the catechism. When I was in school, the sisters taught us the Baltimore Catechism, and we had to memorize everything. And we knew it. When things got tough, you know, who is God? God is love. You know, everything came back. Since there's been no teaching, Jesus has said to Louisa, I'm going to teach them. And again, in my understanding of the book of heaven is Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths and he will remind you of everything that I have said. This 10,000 pages of the divine will, he's teaching us every day. He's leading us every day to enter into this abundant life. I, God, let my arms be bound. And then I, God, let this soul do whatever the soul wants. I let this soul penetrate even into my sacred heart. And I let her take by herself that which she has asked for me. Ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Jesus is going to teach us how to trust him. Jesus is going to teach us how magnificent he is, how powerful he is. He's going to bring us back to where Adam was before the fall. Through holy baptism, we are in God's image, and now Jesus wants us to enter into the likeness. Listen, I, God, let her take by herself that which he has asked from me. Wait till you begin to enter into this gift. Already God obeys the priest. When the priest is at the altar, because of the ontological change through ordination, the priest says, this is my body. And God obeys. It becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Jesus is saying, now you have to begin to understand. I want to give this priesthood, if you want to say, because we're all baptized as priests, prophets, and kings, to my people. I want you to enter into this life that I gave to Adam before the fall. What's coming is the glory of God. What's coming, and this is why this rose vestment is so essential today. We rejoice in the fact. You know, Jesus said to Louisa, Christmas is every day. Christmas is every day. It's rejoicing, glorifying God, praising God, adoring God, loving God. Volume 3, 227, 1900. My daughter, in the soul who is completely, listen to this, transformed into my most holy divine will, I, God, find sweet rest. John Paul II says, get ready for the third millennium. St. Padre Pio said, the world of the church is going to focus on Louisa Picaretta and the divine will in the third millennium. What's going on? Jesus is bringing about this transformation. Now is the time for sanctification. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in 1947, 40 days after Louisa died, she says, what? Time has now come to an end. A new beginning is happening. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of Lucifer. This is why everything's happening in the world today. A new beginning is coming. Jesus says this, in the soul who's completely transformed into my volition, I, God, find sweet rest. In sacred scripture, it's the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day. The evening of the second day, the morning of the third day. But there's no morning or evening of the seventh day. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. It's a new beginning that's coming. A new beginning is happening for mankind. We have entered into the seventh millennium. And what's so glorious, on the seventh day of the seventh year of the seventh month of the seventh century, if you want to say, the seventh millennium, Pope St. Benedict gave the permission to for any priest to say the Latin Mass. Do you think that's by chance? No, it's a new beginning that's coming. It's a new and powerful beginning for all the world. He says, the soul who becomes for me like those soft objects that cause no bother to someone who wants to rest. On the contrary, be they even tired and suffering people, the softness with the pleasure that they received in resting over those objects is such that upon waking up, they find themselves strong and healthy. Divine healing is coming. Such as for me, Jesus, the soul who is conformed to my most holy divine will, and I as recompense, let myself be bound by her free will, and I, God, make the divine sun shine in that soul as if in the full midday. What does that mean? Returning to the image and likeness of God, sharing in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass. Listen to the priest when he says this. A lot of people just say, well, he said it. No, this is powerful. What the priest is praying is going to happen. We have to now pray with that priest. Yes, may we share in divinity. Yes, may we enter into this abundant life. May we be transformed. And Jesus says to Louisa, I want you to be transmuted in God into the full midday. I, God, want suffering to be your nourishment, but not mere suffering, but as fruit of my divine will. Every one of us is suffering, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. What do we do with it? It's our cross. It's our life. And do we drag it behind us complaining, oh, I've got this pain here, I hurt here, I feel bad this way. No, it's Jesus, I offer up this suffering, one with your suffering. He's the one that suffered the most. Our Lady suffered the most. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And this is why they crucified Louisa every day, so that she, Louisa, could participate in this suffering. I want suffering to be your nourishment. Okay, so what do we do when we're physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally suffering? Are we complaining? Are we upset? Are we miserable? Or are we embracing it? Lord Jesus, you want my suffering to be my nourishment? This was your nourishment. So be it. You don't have to pray for it. It's going to happen. But what do you do with it? Do you drag your cross behind you, or do you embrace it like Jesus? Since the most sincere kiss that binds our friendship more strongly is the union of our wills, the indissoluble bond that shall clasp us in continuous embraces and shall be the continuous suffering. We're here on earth to get ready for the kingdom. Okay, so what does God give us that he possessed? Suffering, 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 the three that suffered the most. He's asking us, instead of complaining to God, why do I have this headache? Why do I have this ache? Why do I feel emotionally sad? Why? No, it's thank you, Jesus. I adore you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you that I can suffer one with you, Lord, one with your mother, one with this newborn, Louisa Picaretta. I can begin to suffer one with you and not complain, but to embrace it. He says, this is the indissoluble bond that shall clasp us continuously, this embrace of God through suffering. Volume 3, 3, 7, 1900. The soul who is conformed to my divine will knows how to infiltrate herself so much into my divine power as to reach the point of binding me, God, completely according to her liking, when, and she disarms me as she wants. How do you disarm God? Well, how can a human disarm God? When it participates in his likeness, it becomes one with God. The Father looks for souls that want to be close to the new Adam and the new Eve. And when he finds the souls, he says, are you willing to share in the sufferings that Jesus and Mary went through? And when the soul says yes, God goes, good. The soul who is conformed to my divine will knows how to infiltrate herself so much into my divine power as to reach the point of binding God completely according to her liking, disarms God as she wants. And you, how many times you bind me? How many times do we bind God? You got to think about this. How are we like? See, when Jesus speaks to Louisa, it's because of who she is. Jesus wants to speak to us just the way he speaks to Louisa. How do we live? Do we live with that fiat of God like Louisa did? Volume 3, 716, 1900. After this, it seems to me that Jesus had a little rope in his hand, and passing it behind my neck, he bound me, and then he bound his neck to the same rope. See, it's image and likeness. And he did the same to my heart and to the hands. And by this, he seemed he was binding me completely to his divine will. We give fiat to God. Lord, let it be done as you say. See, Jesus says that the souls in the divine will, that's, he says, are very few. But he doesn't need many at this point. He's asking us to be the yeast to bring leaven to all those that are around us, you know, with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, to bring this abundant life of God to mankind. So he's looking at us and he's asking us, are you willing to do this? He's binding us if we wish. We can break free from it if we wish. But if we say to Jesus every day, with our prevenient act in the morning, I want to be fused with you, Jesus. I want to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven, because this is what you want. And I want to work with you. I want to be one with you, hand in hand, bound to you. As you're saying fused, put in bound now. I want to be fused. I want to be bound. I want to be tied to you. I never want to be separated from you. Volume 4, 1900. Jesus transported me out of myself, and together with Jesus, I found our Queen Mama Mary, who was saying to Jesus, my son, this soul shall always be ready to do and to suffer whatever we, the new Adam and the new Eve, want. And this is like a bond that binds divine justice for us. Therefore, spare so many slaughters and so much blood that is to be shed by the people. This is Louisa. This is what God is showing us about Louisa. Because of her fiat, the world was spared many sufferings. Now Jesus has said, Louisa's in heaven. Everything that I told her is in the book of heaven. As you read, he's talking to us. As you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, will you be one with Louisa? Can Jesus say this to you? What Our Lady said, my son, this soul shall always be ready to do and to suffer whatever Jesus and Mary want. I mean, every one of us is suffering. Are you willing to go through this physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, which we're doing right now? Jesus says, what are you going to do with your cross? What are you going to do with your suffering? Follow Louisa. I want what you want with us. You gave this life to me, and now I surrender it to you. And this is like a bond that binds divine justice for us. Therefore, spare so many slaughters. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, everyone from Adam to the last man, spare. So much blood that is to be shed for the people. Then continuing to see the Lord and the Queen Mother, I saw the confessor with them. And the Most Holy Virgin said, "See, my son, we have a third party, the confessor, who wants to unite with us, who wants to offer his work by committing himself to concur in order to make Luisa suffer, to satisfy divine justice." We're going to understand how much Luisa suffered. Now, Jesus isn't going to ask us to go through what Luisa went through. I mean, being in bed for, 70 years, as Archbishop Piccieri said. He's not going to ask us to do that. Not to eat, not to drink, not to sleep. What God is going to do is he's saying, Luisa's the one who has done this. The three that suffered the most. And all we do is we say, I want to be with you, Jesus, with you, Mary, like Luisa. It doesn't mean we're going to be in bed, but it means that we understand the three that suffered the most, Jesus, Mary, and Luisa. We begin to understand this new era that's coming. They needed another sacrifice. We couldn't stay in bed for, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, it's impossible. I remember I broke my back and I had to be in the hospital for over the Christmas season, way back when. It was like eternity. I can't do that. You know, it's like Jesus knows this. And so what he says, I'm going to let Luisa do this. And then he says this, this too is like rendering the rope stronger that binds you in order to placate you, to satisfy divine justice. Luisa is the one that did this. And now God is saying, are you beginning to understand who this little newborn is? Are you beginning to understand? And besides, this too is rendering the rope stronger that binds us in order to placate you. Besides, when you, Lord, when have you ever resisted the strength of the unions of the one who suffer and praise to, and the one who concurs with you for the sole purpose of glorifying you and for the good of the people? That's what Luisa did. She suffered for the sole purpose of glorifying God. And now a new beginning is happening. A new beginning is here. Volume 4, 10, 17, 1900. Yeah, a suffering soul and a most humble prayer makes me, Jesus, lose all my strength and renders me, Jesus, so weak as to let myself be bound by that soul as she pleases. The suffering soul and a humble prayer makes me lose all my strength and renders me to be bound to that soul. That's what's happening with us. Again, reconsecrate yourself to Jesus and Mary. Rejoice this weekend. The Savior is going to be born. The King is going to return. Get ready to say to the Lord, whatever you need me to do, I'm ready. If this is what you want, I want it. God's got it planned. And all that he asks of us is fiat. Volume 4, 10, 30, 1902. When our holy humanity, united with a bond of obedience that God had placed between himself and the creature, a bond that alone united God and man, it became dispersed. When Jesus Christ, taking on human nature, making himself our head, came to reunite the dispersed humanity, and with Jesus's obedience to the Father, to the will of the Father, Jesus came to join God and man once again. But this indissoluble union is strengthened more according to obedience to the divine volition. Do you see what Jesus is saying? What God has given to the saints, now he's given to us, and he's asking us, do you want this indissoluble union to be strengthened more than according when you surrender yourself according to the divine will of God? More is coming. God is gratuitous. He's constantly giving. He can't stop. For all eternity, we're going to see the magnificence of God, the beauty of God, the strength of God, the holiness of God, the love of God. And he can't, 100 million trillion years from now, we're still going to be in awe of God because he's still going to show us his infinite love. That's what God wants. He wants us to be with him so we can begin to understand how great our God is, how loving our God is, how powerful our God is. Do you see why the prayer has to be answered when we say to Jesus, take my humble prayer and make it your command? There's no doubt. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. Volume 4, 11, 13, 1900. After going through several days of most bitter privation, having received Holy Communion, I, Luisa, saw three children in my interior. Their beauty and equality was such that all three of them seemed to be born of the same labor. My soul was surprised and stupefied in seeing so much beauty enclosed in the circle of my so miserable interior, and my stupefaction increased even more as I saw these three children seem to have many ropes of gold in their hands, and with them they bound themselves completely to me, to my heart, completely to them. The Holy Trinity appears to Luisa. See, when we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the beginning of the image of God. And now with us likeness of God through the book of heaven, we become more bound to God. He wants us to become alive. This is why they gave us the three powers of intellect, memory, and will. God wants us to begin to live this abundant life. He doesn't want us to wait until we die to have heaven. May your kingdom come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven, on this dust as it is in heaven. Jesus is doing this little by little for the souls that say, fiat, I want this. Fiat, I want to be bound to this. Volume 4, 1223, 1900. And so that my volition may be more sweet and more enjoyable for you, place yourself in the circle of my divine will and admire its different divine qualities by pausing now in the sanctity of my volition, and now in the goodness of my volition, and now in the humility of my volition, now in the beauty of my volition, now in the peaceful dwelling that my volition produces. And in these pauses, you shall acquire even more new and unheard of news about my most holy divine volition. That's heaven now on earth. And you shall become so bound to and enamored of it that you shall never go out of it again. You're entering into the infinite ocean of love. And if the soul feels movement of her passions, it is a sign that she does not have continuous dwelling within the bounds of my volition, and she makes some exits, some little escapes into her own human will, and is forced to smell the stench of a corrupted nature. That's the original sin. That's the human will. Jesus says, I don't want you to live like this anymore. On the other hand, if you remain fixed in my divine will, you shall be completely free of all trouble, and your only occupation, listen to this, shall be loving me, triune God, and being loved by me, triune God, in return. This is what God has planned. So we'll end there, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.